traditions in the great outdoors.
Welcome to Ozark Traditions TV podcast, a place where outdoor topics are discussed. Now sit back as today's host brings you the outdoors inside.
Ozark Traditions in the great outdoors.
All right, guys, welcome back to another one. I'm TJ. I'm here with Matt and Justin, just as always. And today we have the Snood Master on here. We call him the Snood Master, Joe King. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you fellas doing today?
Oh, we're still kicking. So, Joe, you've got all kinds of things going on, really, I feel like. You got the Snood brand going on. You got the Stealth Shades going on. I mean, and not to mention, I've seen you been able to draw something one time. We'll get into that here in a minute, but.
Sure.
So, guys, everybody that, if you don't know who Joe King is, first of all, he's an awesome guy. We met him at the, we actually have talked to you forever, but we actually met you, or I actually met you, me and Matt, and at the National Wild Turkey Federation thing, and just cool, awesome guy, awesome stuff. I've got my Snood sticker on my truck. I even put one on my boat because I snagged a couple stickers up there while I was there.
You're trying to class it up a little bit, you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I just got to get me a pair of them shades to wear running down the lake. I was just thinking about that.
I got a Snood hat coming in the mail because after I talked to Joe the other day, I thought, I need to go get me one of those. It should get to you probably another day or so.
Yeah, I might need to talk to you about one of them too. But anyways, guys, so first off, Joe, I guess we'll start with the Snood thing. How did you come up with that? Because it's awesome. I mean, the whole people really like it, and you've got the little tape measure to measure. And okay, first of all, I guess we better explain to people what a Snood is.
I have to explain that probably 3 or 4 times a week.
Well, you go ahead and explain it again, because you've probably got a good explanation for it. You're a little
smarter. I'll just be simple. The little thing that hangs down over the turkey's beak is the snood, and if it's a young bird, it'll just kind of stick up off the forehead, right above his beak. And as he matures, it obviously gets bigger and just hangs down. And apparently, it's to my understanding, it's the most important trait of the wild turkey, the gobbler in the mating ritual that attracts the hen.
Huh. See, you learn something new every day. I didn't know that, did you?
I didn't either. Okay. So you're saying...
News to me.
So you're saying the bigger the snood, the more desirable.
Yes, yeah. I think I even have a meme out there about that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure can imagine. They do.
Yeah, I think I could draw a map on that deal.
I'm sure they do. I'm sure that goes crazy. I know something else about the snood that I've noticed is if you ever alert a turkey... Or, like, they see you, if it was, like, just dangling down and they see you, that sucker will stand straight up.
Yeah.
It's happened, like, I don't know, every time they
get around us.
Yeah, because they're always seeing us. We're no good at this turkey hunting deal. We're getting there. Patience. I've learned patience is the key to turkey hunting. And when we were younger, we didn't have much of it, you know. And now that we're getting to be older... We still don't got a lot of it, but we got a little more than we had. So, but guys, that's in my mind. That's how you should measure your turkey. That's how you score your turkey.
Well, you got to get the snood ruler, right, Joe?
Yes, exactly. So the snood tool, the official snood measuring tool.
The official. If it ain't official, it's no good because we don't accept any scores that's not measured with the official snood.
Right, because you have to take a selfie with the official snood tool, and while you're measuring that snood, and then you hashtag send snoods to us on Instagram.
Send snoods, boy, he is just a sharp guy. I tell you, Joe, I love it.
Marketing whiz,
he is.
it kind of fell together. It was kind of a I gotta explain the origin of the whole thing. It's well, I'll explain first. I'm an art teacher, and I don't know if many people know that I'm a high school art teacher, and that's what I do for my regular gig. And I've been teaching. This is my 30th year of teaching, and but one of the lessons that I have is about brands and branding. Well, I had just come back from the NWTF. I think it was 2000 and maybe 19. and I was down at NWTF. I saw Spur Brand guys and ended up meeting Spur Brand fellas at NWTF. And then I met him again at another trade show. And I got to talk to Mike Chambliss and Ben Rising and Buddy Stafford, who owned Spur. And, you know, we ended up becoming pretty good friends there, you know, just talking to them. And a really, really nice guy. Well, Mike was explaining you know, how he came up with this idea of the Spur brand. Well, I have a lesson in school teaching brands and branding. And so I'd use some previous things. I think the Stell Shades logo actually came out of a lesson that I taught at the time, because I was developing Stell Shades. And I was like, I need to come up with a brand for Stell Shades. And I was explaining to my students what I'm planning on doing. Well, then, you know, obviously, you know, a couple years later, I'm working on the snood idea, and it just kind of popped in my mind because I'm explaining about Spur Brand, how this guy came up with this idea, and what they've used and how they brand Spur. And I said, so if I'm going to make another one, I'd make one, and I'd call it, off the top of my head, I said, I'll call it snood. And that's where it was born. It was a 5-minute sketch, and laid out the design for the students. I spent another, I don't know, 35, 45 minutes cleaning it up with a marker. And then I think I played around with expanding it, making it bigger so that I could detail a little better. And then I just sent it off the sticker mule. And within an hour and a half, I could show my students. I had a proof already coming back that was finished. And they sent me stickers within a week.
That's awesome.
So.
So you said you whipped that thing out in 5 minutes. The sketch, guys. Yeah, I'm telling you, the snood is cool. I got it on my truck. I got it on my boat. I think I got it on my shotgun. I put the red, white, and snood thing on my shotgun. I mean, I've got it all.
You're representing.
Heck yeah, man.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
So, Joe's an art teacher, as he just said, and if you get done listening to this podcast, be sure to go to his Facebook page, first of all. You got to look at some of the art. Now, when he says he's an art teacher, guys, I'm talking this guy drew a portrait on the back of a car, dirt road dust, of a deer that just...
blow your mind.
Oh, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, that dirt road art, I guess you'd call it, that's what I'd call it, is amazing. And you've done a couple of them, right, Joe? I mean, it's not just the
deer. Yeah, I've done a couple. I haven't done a lot. I think I've done like three or four. I'm due for another one, I'm sure.
Well, I can tell you right now, my truck's ready.
Yeah.
It's been snowing and raining, sure. And me and Matt both live on about 3 miles of gravel road, so everything, my poor bass boat.
Yeah, we'll keep a canvas ready. You come down and hang out with us.
Yeah. The artwork on the deal, artwork on the back of the rig was really impressive. I mean, I can't draw.
Yeah, thanks.
So, Joe, I got a question for you. What do you use to do that?
Well, I use a couple of things. I use an eraser end of a pencil. Sometimes I use even the pencil point because the graphite, it won't hurt the glass. I kind of mark out some spots. And then from that, looking at a photograph generally and using my fingernail. I use the paintbrush brush end sometimes. Sometimes I use the handle end. Sometimes I use an eraser off a pencil and basically just draw right in the dirt.
Very cool.
You guys just, everybody listening, you have to go look at this because you're not even going to appreciate. We're all oohing and awing, but we've seen it. If you haven't seen it, you don't even know what.
Right, right. You're missing out.
You really don't understand just how good this is. I mean, it's...
We'll find a picture and put it on the Ozark Traditions TV page.
Yeah.
I'll send you a couple of when we're done.
That would work.
So, Joe, I got to know, where did your idea come from with the Stell Shades? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think I had the idea. It's been almost 20 years now. I got the original idea. I had purchased a pair of eyewear that was camouflage eyewear. And they actually work really well because it's your eyes that really give you away when you're turkey hunting, actually when you're deer hunting as well. And if you make that eye contact, you're essentially done. So I had this eyewear and it's kind of a mesh you look through that's printed on the outside of a lens. And the issue I had was that you put them on, you wear a face mask and a hat and whatever, boom, they fogged up immediately. And I mean, I had a couple opportunities on some birds that were lost opportunities when they were fogged. And I thought, man, I should just, you know, I thought about, you know, cutting them up and doing all kinds of things. Well, you know, at the time, that was like 20 years ago, I paid $35 for the things. That, you know, you start putting money towards hunting equipment. I was one of those guys hunting on a shoestring budget. And I thought, you know what, I don't want to cut them. And then, you know, I left them in the drawer, and they sat there, and they sat there, and sat there. And finally, I thought, you know what, I think I can make something. So I started playing with safety glasses. And I had lived in Alaska, and I had seen what an Inuit snow goggle is, if you know what an Inuit snow goggle is. Inuit snow goggle. Yeah, it's basically a piece of bone or leather hide or something, and it literally cut slits in it.
Yeah.
And so I just took that idea and I modernized it. You know, the first one was like the polymer clay and safety glasses, and build it out of that to get a structure that I could use to do measurements from. And then we played on, I had a student who graduated in my art class, was doing into product design, and he had access to a 3D printer, so he would be printing things for me. And I'd pay him to print me off samples, and then I'd test them, and then I'd say, okay, change this. And we went back and forth for a long time playing with it. But essentially what you have is you have an aperture that goes across the eyewear, and that's your viewing aperture. And then you have a vertical aperture that allows your hands to work the game call, and your eyes will focus between 18 and 24 inches in front of you because it's a little narrower, two vertical slits. And then the eyewear is built with I don't know if you have a pair there or not, but they have a built-in brim essentially over the slit that the eyewear, so you don't need to wear a brim cap. A lot of times if I'm in the woods, I don't want to wear a brim cap because every time I turn my head, I get busted. You know, that big brim sticking out there, swinging back and forth. Yeah.
Anyway. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I just say that's essentially how it started out, and so I decided I wanted a one-piece design, and the eyewear had to be essentially unbreakable because, I hate when you, like, these glasses I had were so fragile, it's afraid to put them in a turkey vest.
Yeah.
These things, you can put them anywhere you want. You can sit on them. We've driven over them with a car. Can't break them. Just made a real durable product. I mean, you can lose them because they're camouflage, but other than that, they should last forever.
Yeah, guys, what if you don't know what stealth shades are, it's like Joe said, it's a pair of glasses, solid glasses, and they've got a cut in the middle of them.
Like a T.
And you just look through that. But I'm telling you, when you put them on, your face is gone. I mean, you don't see that. You don't. It takes the whole, if you're all camoed out, like, you're not gonna see. And I never thought about, like, the eye con. I never... I've been busted plenty of times.
So when I was a kid, it's a neat deal that you said you've come up with this a long time ago, Joe. Me and my dad had these birds come in, and they didn't work, and we had this hen really, really, really close.
Right, right.
And we didn't move, didn't do anything, and Dad said, just blink one time. Well, I did, and the hen saw us, and she was out of there. And he was like, he's like, your eyes, he said, they will see your eyes. He's like, I mean, when I tell you don't move, he's like, I mean, don't blink, don't. So whenever I first saw him, I'm like, well, I'm sold. Because I know it. I mean, I know that that's an issue.
Yeah, right.
Especially with turkeys. I don't think people realize just how good. I mean, people that's hunted turkeys for a little while understand how good they see.
Right.
But somebody that hasn't turkey hunted a whole lot or something, they can, them things got magnifying glasses for eyeballs, guys. Like, they can see the littlest thing. And you don't even have to move. Like, if you're not hid good, they'll pick you out.
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that aggravates me,
light in your eye, reflecting.
Yeah. The one thing that aggravates me about turkeys, though, is that you can't move an inch or nothing, or they'll see you. But I can take a ground blind, pop it up, and set it in the middle of a field. And I mean wide open middle of a field, and they'll walk right up to it. It just blows my mind. And then you got a deer, which a white-tailed deer can't see as good as a turkey, obviously. I feel like a deer can see about as good as a human, but I don't know the statistics on that. I don't know.
I don't either.
And some humans don't see as good as others. So, but a deer, if you put a ground blind out, they're not going to come nowhere near it. But a turkey that can see really good, you can throw it in anywhere. And that's the only thing that I don't get with turkeys, but
if the you're only time it,
go ahead.
The only time a turkey can't see you is when turkey season's over.
Oh, like yeah, rifle season, right. Opening yeah. day rifle season. If you just wore blaze orange, they'll walk right. They know better. I think that's what we're doing wrong, guys. I think we need to just wear an orange vest, turkey hunting.
Why don't you try it this year?
Nah, I'm good. Or just like act like you're farming.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do know. That's right.
It's just like ducks. I feel like if I just sell all my decoys and just take my fishing pole and the bass boat out, put the trolling motor in, I could kill all the ducks in the world because they don't. As soon as you try to sit down and hide and call them day to day, ducks can see really good too. That's something I never thought about using them duck waterfowl hunting.
Stealth shades for yeah. ducks. He's
got
to be.
Yeah, Joe, I don't know. Use
them on the water.
Do you have a duck pattern?
I don't. You mean as far as the camo pattern or for design?
Yeah.
Everybody assumes that like the Max 5 and the blades is a duck pattern. I'm telling you right now, I've wore a lot of Advantage hardwoods and all that stuff. Duck and camouflage is camouflage. I mean,
well, Joe, you have snow camo, don't you?
I do.
Snow goose.
We do. And the reason I did the snow camo is I got some guys that like around here, especially guys that do a lot of coyote hunting. And if they're doing it in the daytime with that snow on the ground, because it's based on Inuit snow goggle, it works like an Inuit snow goggle. So it actually does the justice of what a pair of sunglasses would do. You're not fogging them up.
Yeah, and I think when you're talking about the Inuit snow goggle, that's why they wore them, was because it's so bright. It's snow all the time, and it's so bright. It was like it helps them see through the snow, yeah, basically.
There's been times where I've been hunting deer where the sun's coming down, you got a little snow on the ground, you got that reflection coming off the snow, and you can't see to the back corner of the field because of the sun, the way the sun's coming. As soon as you put the eyewear on, it's I don't know, I can't even explain, it's just crazy. You don't get any ambient light, and so you're not blinded by that, and you can see all the way into that corner that where there's like an inside corner of woodlot or something where you normally wouldn't be able to see because of the sun. And it's come in handy quite a few times. I know some guys at waterfowl, and they use them for waterfowl, especially when that sun gets low. But as far as for wearing them while you're trying to find ducks in the sky, it'd be kind of tough because they're designed to sit on the ground, so you're just looking in a panoramic,
Right. Well, and like if you were bird hunting, then you got to have your head on a swivel anyways, so it'd be kind of tough. But another thing about them is I bet they kind of help a guy like focus, like on like your gun barrel or even with a bow. I mean, you shoot a...
Actually, they do. Yeah, actually yeah. they do. And that's one of the things that, because you're looking for an aperture, competitive pistol shooters, I used to shoot silhouette pistol, and you put a little aperture on your shooting glasses, and you look through the aperture and then onto your sights and onto the target. It's just to help you focus, and that's exactly what it will do. It'll help you with that. With apertures, you'll see when you try it, but with the archery, I got some top level archers now experimenting with the eyewear, using it as a shooting aid, because what it does is it gives you one more alignment. You have to make some adjustments to your peep and to your sights, maybe, because if you're like tilting your head or something, it'll keep you from tilting your head. You won't be able to drop your shoulder. If you're shooting uphill or downhill, you'll have to bend at the hip. So it keeps your alignment, really crisp, and it keeps your attitude of your head in the same position every time for the shot.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's basically, it works like a peep sight does too, though. I mean, a peep sight is the same thing.
I could see like where, at my wife's school, they have the indoor archery.
Mm-hmm.
And all those kids, they shoot in these big gymnasiums that are really super bright and stuff. I could see where a pair of those stealth shades would help, help you focus a little bit and keep you aligned.
I know a guy that wears them to read with.
Yeah.
Do you know that? For one,
huh? Oh, Matt's brother, Rayma, he uses them to read, watch TV,
everything.
Yep. Garden, yeah, whatever.
He wears them all the time. They really, you guys listening, you need to go check out, like I said, go check out Joe's Facebook and stuff, because he's got some hunting videos sitting on the ground with these deer. I mean, walking in your lap. I mean, these things are just and with, well, turkey season's, that's why we had the Snood King on. I mean, it's almost here in Florida. I think it actually is probably opened up in Florida, or it's getting ready to. I'll have to ask.
Yeah, I think it opens up sometime next week.
Yeah, so
I could be wrong, but I think next week.
So now, Joe, where all do you have on your schedule this year to go turkey hunting?
Well, it's kind of tentative right now. Last year, I was able to slip out during my school spring break, and I headed to Florida, and then I whiffed, a swing whiff. Actually, I didn't even see a bird. Didn't find birds the last day, and then when the rain opened up in Florida, it opened up. I mean, there's no way it's going to stop for days, and it was it was a deluge. It just lasted. So, well, might as well pack it and go home. But I think this year I'm going. I'll be hunting here. Obviously, we can in Michigan. We can get one bird here. I have a tag already for Pennsylvania, so that's where I grew up, and I'll probably go hunt with my dad this spring, and then and my brother, and then I might swing it down to Kentucky, or I live about 45 minutes from Indiana too, so I might better get an Indiana tag. So we'll see.
Now, do you hunt public land when you go and do all that, or do you know people?
I used to hunt a lot of public land, and it was all by application. You had to apply, get drawn. It was a drawn tag. Now I generally just, because I have enough private land permissions. Knock on wood, I'm hoping that I still have permission for this properties that I'm going to be on this year. And but I had about 3,000 acres that I could hunt. And that's just knocking on doors and talking to farmers and going out and shooting groundhogs for them.
Yeah.
And then they say, yeah, come on, you can hunt ground, you can hunt turkey, you know? So it works out, that I've got all these, in fact, I've got probably over a dozen birds spotted right now in my local area that are all shooters. And then a few other new ones that I haven't seen, I'm sure, but, there's a double beard bird I'm trying to get this year. I don't know. We'll see.
If you could ever just kill a double snooted bird, you'd have to get it, man. You know that
there's one on Instagram we posted. A young fella, I don't remember where he was at when he shot it, but it had a double snood.
That's like killing a banded coot.
A double snood.
Yeah, a double snood. Yeah, it had like a forked snood.
I bet he had hens all over him.
Yeah.
I'll bet.
That's what I was thinking, Hampton.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if that's the way it works,
I mean,
double the snoot, double the hens, right?
Yeah.
That's what they say. I don't know.
That's what they say. I don't. The snoot thing is so much fun. That's, I mean, it really is. And the logo's cool. I mean, it looks good on my truck, anyways. But of course, I drive a Chevy Silverado. You can put whatever you want on there, it's going to look pretty decent.
I just try to cover up all the rust spots in my truck, so it works out.
Well, thank God mine doesn't have any yet, and it better not for a while. It's not that old, so if it starts rusting, I'm going to be mad. Because I got to drive it for the rest of my life, because you can't afford to buy a new one.
No, yeah. No, that's crazy.
All right, so now I got to know, Joe, on the snood ruler deal, so what would be like a Boone and Crockett snood? What are we looking at here measurement-wise?
Well, if you're getting a snood that's over 4 inches, you're doing really good.
That's
if you got a 4-inch snood, that's the longest snood here now.
I thought he said 12 inches. I was like, oh my god, that thing could trip over that.
No, 4 inches.
4 inches.
Luckily for you, he said four inches.
Yeah.
4 inches. Now the snood ruler goes to 6, but you know, I guess that's something to shoot for. But yeah.
The snood thing, it's a lot of fun. I really like. I killed a nice bird a couple years ago, and I posted a picture with Joe, the snood thing, and it was, of course, it helps when your wife's a professional photographer and kind of doctor it up, make the colors pop, you know, off a turkey. Because a turkey's head.
Oh, they're beautiful.
It's
birds.
So ugly, but yet it's beautiful. I mean, they're nasty. I mean, when you look at a turkey, they're.
Yeah, boy, they're ugly.
Their head is ugly. The rest of them, but it's not.
Right.
I don't know. It's so. I haven't got to look at a whole lot of them up close like that, but I'd say that. We've killed some birds. It's just the turkeys here in Missouri, and we talked to Eddie when we was down there at the NWTF, and he kind of backed us up on that. The Eastern turkey here in Missouri is one of the hardest turkeys to hunt, I think, in the United States. And I'm saying that, and I've never hunted for a turkey anywhere else but Missouri.
Yeah, but Eddie said it too, and maybe it was just to make us feel good about ourselves.
And maybe he was just selling me a turkey call. I don't know. I don't think so, but...
Yeah, it might be true.
I'm telling you, man, these turkeys... The problem around here is it seems like they're going to do whatever they're going to do, and you're not going to change their mind. So unless you don't get in their way of doing that, you're not going to... Like, me and Matt almost have to hunt our turkeys where we're at here, like deer.
Yeah.
We're like, okay, they're going to go out in this field. We're just going to have to sit down there and wait on them. When are they going to go out there? Who knows? But at some point between April 18th and 2 weeks later, whenever the season ends, that turkey will walk out into that field during shooting time.
Right.
And you can kill it. See, me right. and Matt, our problem, where Matt lives, it's really hilly. And we're like, oh, man, I hear that turkey gobbling over there. And then we're chasing them. And never catch up with them. They always see us coming.
For some reason, they try to keep the high ground.
Yeah, it's weird. So every year...
They're smart.
Yes, they are very smart. And they're every year, we're like, all right, this year, we're just going to sit down in the windmill field and wait on them. And then every year, they're gobbling up on the hill. And here we go, trekking up through the woods with camera equipment and decoys and trying to get... And it never works. And I'm like, I thought we said... So this year... This year, we're not doing that.
We're going to do it.
Now, the farm I hunt's a little bit different. We actually had... You can actually kind of call at them turkeys a little bit and kill them, but...
Now, do you roost them at night before you go out the next day? Or,
well, the funny thing about Matt's turkeys is they always roost in the same spot.
Right.
But they don't never fly down in the same spot two times in a row. See, how Matt's farm sets up, there's a big ridge that runs down that... And the big hay bottom field's down in the bottom, big old green, beautiful bottom field. And then up on top, there's a like a logging road, easement road.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of grassy, cleared. So they either fly down and strut into that easement road and won't leave it. They'll gobble at you all day long up there, will not leave it. Or they fly down into that big green field. Well, it seems like every time we set up on the easement road up on top, they fly down into the field. And then when we set up on the field, they fly down. And so it's like I said, you just got to...
Just kind of wait them out.
Sit down there in the big, pretty green field. If they fly down an easement road, just pack her up, head to the house, try it again tomorrow. And then, I mean, that's basically what you got to do. And it's aggravating, but you can't sneak on them there because it's just too wide open. And I don't know. We probably sound like a bunch of crybabies, but...
Wow.
People are like, well, at least you got turkeys on your property. You know, there's a lot of... I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. There's a lot of places that people would just like to hear a turkey gobble, you know? So... And I feel like, even being at the NWTF thing, a lot of people are starting to kind of really realize what all needs to happen. Like, I've seen a lot of trapping guys at the NWTF convention, and I thought that was... pretty good, because that's kind of really what needs to take place to help the turkeys.
Yeah, Joe, how are the turkey numbers where you're at?
Well, we have actually not bad. We have a lot of hunters. So we end up selling a lot of tags here in Michigan. But you only have one bird. So I think it's fairly popular. But bird numbers are up. I mean, really, they are. I've seen a lot of birds. We do have issues with raccoons and possums, and you know, like everybody else, we don't have enough trappers, and there's really no way to take care of that. Not enough guys hunting raccoons and in the off season. It's not that popular. It used to be, and there's not that many trappers really, because there's really no money in pelts, so guys aren't trapping. There's a few old timers that are still getting out and about trapping, but.
Yeah, if they bring the fur prices up, I think the turkey population would really kind of explode, I think. Honestly, I mean...
Hey, on that fur price thing, I was watching a trapping show over the weekend, and the guy said if you shot the coyote in the head, that after everything was said and done, he could get almost $40 a pelt.
Right. Coyotes are pretty decent, but we're talking about the Smileys and the Coons. You know, they don't bring nothing, you know.
Well, I didn't think coyotes brought that either.
Yeah. The coyotes have always been pretty decent.
Coyotes and bobcats bring a pretty
good
money.
Speaking of bobcats, this is kind of a little off topic, but I about ran one over on the way over here. Big one, too.
Hey, Joe, we can get off topic quite a bit.
That's okay.
All right, it's a podcast.
Yeah, we hardly ever see bobcats here. That's very, very rare to see a bobcat.
You know, we don't see a lot of them. They're here. Like us running trail cameras for deer hunting, I usually get 2 or 3 pictures a year.
Sure.
But they're not crazy. I bet there's more than you think.
So I got pictures of cougar tracks here. So, it's they're here. I've heard a few other stories about them too in the neighborhood. But
now, Joe, you're in Michigan. You guys got black bears. You guys got black bears in Michigan, right?
Yeah, there's black bear. We don't have black bears down in this neck of the woods. Occasionally, there'll be one that roams down this way. There's one that roams south from like Grand Rapids area, and which is about an hour and a half north of me, a little over an hour, and it'll work his way down this way every year. It does a loop and hits back north looking for a girlfriend. And then there's we got another black bear that was actually in my woodlot where I live, and he ended up pulling him out. I had to tranquilize him, I guess, in the next town, and take him back up north and set him free.
Does Michigan have a hunting season on black bears, or do you guys not have a big enough population for that? Or
Once you get north, it's a drawing as well for the black bear, and then your best. Chances of getting a tag are in the UP, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, across the Mackinac Straits on the other side.
Yeah. We got them. We got them here. I mean, I had one of them, well, not my yard, but not far from it. Well, I mean, we don't have a giant population of them, but I think we're getting more and more. Well, we actually got a season this year, so that was... killed.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
I don't know. Would they get 5 tags or was it more than that? No, it was more than that. It was you could just buy one. Or no, you had to get draw for it, but it had zones or something. And there were so many tags for each zone. So once those tags was filled, then the tags was no good anymore if you didn't. Yeah, something like that. But we had a fairly decent population of them down in southern Missouri, which is weird. You think of a bear being a northern.
Right, and we got them down south.
Well, it's just like our elk. So we got a small population of elk here in Missouri, and they're all in southern Missouri. You would think of those animals of being a northern animal, and they're just... But the terrain, I guess, is better for, you know, because it gets pretty mountainous down in them parts. It's so weird down there. Like, when we was on our way to the NWTF thing, you're driving through southern Missouri, and it's just up, down, and then you come out of, like...
Well, when you get over into the Boot Hill.
You get over to the Boot Hill, and then all of a sudden you come out of this town, and it's flat. It's like Kansas. And like the blink of an eye. And then you get in Arkansas and down in the Boot Hill, and you can see for 2 miles, and it's weird down there. I don't know. And then you get back over into Tennessee, and you're back in the mountains again. So it's kind of cool. Which the Nashville thing, that, like I said, we met Joe, actually met him down there, and that was that thing was quite the turnout, wasn't it?
That was I think that was they had really good numbers. I'm estimating probably 40,000 to 50,000 at that show.
I would say so. It was pretty neck and neck there for a minute.
Yeah, and 2000 I guess it was 2020, right? We were down there. We had a booth, and there was I think it was right 60, almost 60, 55, 60 that show.
Man.
So that their numbers are they're down a little bit, but still good.
It was a real good lot of people. Well, we talked about it last week. I mean, there was a lot of people, got to meet a lot of people, got to see a lot of cool things, some things not so cool. I mean, it was just, if you could dream it up for a turkey, it was there. If you wanted to buy a turkey call, you could have just closed your eyes and walked around and felt somebody, and they was probably selling one.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just, like me and Matt said, it had been
But you only saw one stealth shade there.
Yeah, and only one snoop brand, too.
That's right.
So, yeah, Joe had the stealth shades and the snood
yep,
brand both. Was there. That's right. separate spots. Well, not really, kind of. I mean, well, they had
I had them at a buddy's booth. I had the sell sheets at a buddy's booth as well as at the state booth, and which seemed to work a little bit because I could send people over. Hey, go over, check out the snood booth. And,
yeah. That's all. I was excited for the snood booth. I like this. Like I said, it's just a lot of fun, guys. And anybody listening, Joe, what's the best way to get with you if they wanted something or wanted to get some cell shades? I'm assuming you got a website for that.
You go right to the website. It's cellshadesusa.com. And then snood brand is snoodbrand.com.
Makes perfect sense.
It does.
I got to get me a hat, so I'm gonna have to get with you, Joe, and we probably need to get us one of them rulers, Matt, because we can't just be measuring stuff with a tape measure. I mean,
right? You got to get the official. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you want to put an official post out there,
yeah,
that's right.
You got to have the official.
And then you can make a hashtag.
I'm not sure. Me and Matt will get to use it, but we might know some other people that'll kill a turkey, and we can.
Yeah, we can measure.
We can go over there and measure theirs.
Right. You know? Well, no, Isaac got to post one of his birds last year on
there. Yep. Well, my little boy, this will be his. He just got old enough here in Missouri. You got to be 6 years old, so he killed him a couple deer. So now he's ready to try to kill a turkey. He's a little nervous. Fantastic. He's a little nervous about the shotgun. Not the shotgun. He's worried about missing. So I'm putting him a red dot scope on there. He can hit with the bead like on the end of the shotgun. But he's more comfortable with the red dot scope. I don't get it.
You know, the guys are using those TSS in a 410, and they're having crazy success.
Oh, yeah. Matt's little boy, he got him one last year. And we called this bird in, and we did not know this turkey was this far. I mean, if you had asked me, I would have said 25 yards. And this was Isaac's first turkey. I mean, he's never done it before. And he shot this turkey, and I mean, folded it like you hit it with a 2x4. And we ranged it, and it was 42 yards.
Yeah,
and I mean, he stone deaded it with a 410. I mean, it was just
That 410 and that TSS shot, it's pretty deadly.
I mean, it's expensive.
Yeah,
it's not. There ain't no way of sugarcoating it. It costs a lot of money, but the results. I mean, it's
well, and I've got him the red dot sight for it and everything. And we practiced a lot at the house.
Yeah.
With, you know, just some cheap target loads.
Right, but you're still shooting a 410, so there's no such thing.
Well, it's cheaper than the TSS.
Right. $3 a shot instead of 10.
Yeah, exactly. $11 a shot or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I haven't broken out my wallet yet, but I'll probably have to get the TSS this year.
Me and Matt were talking about the same thing. I mean, we're talking with a 410, guys. I can't imagine that stuff in 12 gauge. I mean, that stuff's got to be a good up to 80 yards. I mean, Matt killed one a couple years ago with I have a Remington 870 Super Mag, and we shot a 3.5-inch, the Winchester XRs,
mm-hmm. Number fours,
and you shot that turkey at 70 yards, wasn't it?
Yep.
Wow.
Well,
no, I don't know why he shot it that far, but he did.
That bird you posted on the Ozark Traditions TV page, TJ, that I shot.
Yeah,
it was 72 yards with a 28-inch Mossberg with TSS.
With TSS,
yeah.
Yep, 3.5-inch.
Should have known.
Just think, if you'd been shooting a Remington, you wouldn't even have to use the TSS.
That's right.
Yeah, it wouldn't even made it.
Guys, I'll tell you, my setup, you know, I shouldn't be telling this, but I'm going to tell the secret. It's just a Super Mag, Remington Super Mag with a jelly head choke tube. I've had that choke tube for
a minute.
15 years now. Whenever the jelly head come out, when Primos first come out with it, I don't know how long that's been. And it was like 75 bucks for this choke tube. And that was when I was single, so I had
$75.
I had $75, so I went and bought that choke tube, and I've killed some turkeys with it. I mean, it's the number fours too. I really like number fours, and I think that's as big as we can go in Missouri. I don't get that because I can shoot a goose with triple lot buckshot as long as it's steel shot. And you can't shoot a turkey with anything bigger than number four, but I don't know. It is what it is, but
yeah, that's the same in Michigan as well.
Yeah, I think most of the about everywhere. It's number four is about as big as you can go. But well, I tell you what, I'm the turkey season. It's all everything's coming crashing down on me and Matt right now. We're literally leaving next weekend to go on a snow goose hunt up in northwest Missouri. As soon as we get back, the snagging season opens here in Missouri. So then me and Matt are going to be hammered down on the paddlefish. And then turkey season runs right into that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the crappie spawn is right there. I don't know if you've ever been a part of that, Joe, but the crappie spawn is a holiday in here, which I've actually, if anybody been watching, I've been going out and catching a few crappie here.
Getting out fished.
Yeah. Well, yesterday was a mess. So I took my wife and my little boy and my brother-in-law's stepson, Weston. He wanted to go fishing. I thought, all right, that, you know, it'll be fun. Yeah. So Drake is my little boy, and he, it seems like he probably lost a solid 3 pounds worth of crappie jigs yesterday. Weston was having a hard time using the spin cast reel. My wife was just doing, she was fine. She, you know, over there catching fish, and I'm over here tying everybody's crap on, putting minnows on, and then, like, Drake's like, Dad, have you caught any fish? I was like, you know what? I don't even think I picked my pole up in, like, 10 minutes. Like, I don't know. But it's a lot. I like it, taking them. It's a lot of fun. We've actually been doing pretty decent here on Lake of the Ozarks. The fish are kind of starting, which it's supposed to get cold again this weekend. So, but they're kind of, which the crappie are always biting here. People don't realize. I mean, they're not as good. Some, you know, it gets better, obviously, in the springtime. But right now, you got to work at them just a little bit. But you can catch them pretty good. Now, you guys got some crappie fishing up there in Michigan, right, Joe?
Oh, yeah, we got crappie. We've got walleye.
Oh, I know. Muskie, or peanut butter and jelly on that.
Northern. Yeah, I mean, anything you basically want to fish for that's fresh water, you can pretty much come here and look for it.
I'm all about the walleye. See, we have walleye here, and you'll catch them, but it's like a fluke accident. I mean, yeah. There's guys that can go out and catch them pretty regularly, right, in the right time. Like this time of year, actually, is a really good time.
But, right.
I mean, you guys.
But we don't have them like they have them.
No.
No, we got. I got a place up north that I go with a buddy, and we try to make it a once a year thing in the summertime to go up in smallmouth, and. You know, I'm not big into fishing, so, I mean, I do it. I've done it all my life, and, but I mean, if they had antlers, I'd probably get more excited about it.
Yeah.
But, I, you know, I'll go out and I'll fish, and, you know, a couple times a summer, and I don't know, I came back with almost a 7-pound smallmouth, and I didn't realize it. You know, I took it home, cut that thing up, put it in the pan, yeah, and we ate it up. And, anyway.
Yeah. That's a funny story about that. My grandpa and my dad went to Canada back in the 80s, and he caught an 8-pound smallmouth up there, and they brought it back, and he was going to do the same thing. You know, they was over there sharpening the knife up, and the guy that owned the resort they stayed at come down there on the dock, and they had some walleye, you know, and a couple of the yellow perch, and they had that smallmouth, and that guy's like, oh my gosh. He's like, are you getting that fish mounted? And my grandpa's like, well, no, I'm fixing the, you know, knife him. I'm getting ready to knock the sides off of him. And he said that guy almost was in tears. He's like, that's the biggest smallmouth he's ever seen on this lake. He's like, it's got to be a lake record, you know, and all this stuff. He's like, I can't believe you're going to. My grandpa said, well, if you're going to cry about it. And he just grabbed it and threw it back in the lake. He said, this guy. And he said, oh, my gosh, you're not even going to get it mounted. And he's like, well, no, you're over here bawling. You know, I'm just let it go. He didn't care.
Right.
You know, it's just a fish. You know?
Just shore lunch, man.
Right. They were fixing to put the batter to him, and this guy's about to lose his mind. I got a picture. I shared a picture of that fish. I'll have to dig it out. It was pretty funny. Grandpa's got the little beanie hat on and stuff. But people.
Yeah, and the mustache was on point back then.
Oh, I know. I wish. Why didn't I get that? You know,
I don't know. I didn't get that gene, did you?
I didn't. My grandpa has an awesome mustache, and I would totally wear one like that if I could just do it.
Which your boy will probably wind up with it.
Yeah, oh, probably. I mean, if he's got anything of his, either one of his grandpas. Well, no. My dad don't have much for you know, Joe, he's got a pretty luscious beard. Justin can grow hair in a week. Matt, you've got pretty good beard going. And then there's me.
Then there's you.
The facial hair gods just like, they're like, you get a beard, you get a beard. TJ, not you. You get a beard, you get a beard. I mean, that's just how it works. So it's fine. I can grow a decent mustache, but my wife is just, she just, I did it one time with for my birthday float. I don't know when that was, Matt, 2 years ago. And
so
I thought I was going to have to sleep on the couch until I didn't think. I had to sleep on the couch until I shaved it off. I mean, it got that bad. She hated it so much.
So, Joe, I got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
How far worldwide has this new brand went? I mean, is it over in other countries? Like, have you shipped stuff over there?
No, actually, I haven't. Because we're the only place that has Turkey. So, it's only in the United States so far. It's really not that big when you think about it. I don't think I've sold that many shirts, but
we're hoping to change that.
It's got a big appearance on social media and stuff. You know, I see it every day, you know, hashtag snood or something, you know.
Right.
So
I'm
hoping that it kind of takes off. I mean, that was the goal was really when the Stealth Shades, you know, the Stealth Shades are hard sell. I mean, it's eyewear that everybody looks at and goes, yeah, I don't need something like that. But, you know, they don't understand how they work or they don't understand the purpose behind them. And then, you know, they kind of blow it off. Well, you know, so I decided, well, I'll use the snood thing and I'll do videos for turkey hunting with the eyewear on and I'll just use the snood brand. So we're, you know, working on putting videos together and things like that, just advertisement stuff with snood. And I'm using the eyewear in conjunction with that for a lot of it. And anyway, you'll see the latest video I think I did with Stealth Shades was on Stealth Shades. Stealth Shades YouTube it was by Stude Brand because I'm representing Stude Brand in that video. So,
well, there you go, guys. If you want to see this stuff, and you really do need to check it out. It's like Joe said, when you people kind of look at it and they kind of think, well, that's a goofy looking deal. Like, but until you put them on and like actually like look through them, I don't think you're really going to understand how they work and how good they work.
You look at it's the distance your pupil is from that aperture as to how much you can see for one. And of course you have the visor built into the eyewear. So you don't need to see the sky, obviously. With that sort of for deer and any of these other animals, I mean, they're all hardwired. All prey animals are hardwired to look for eyes. They're constantly scanning for eyes because that's how they save themselves, really. And they make eye contact with a predator, gone. And that's actually just proven studies on birds and have immediate flight response to making eye contact with predator.
Makes sense. Don't make eye contact. That's why I got to get an order in. I need to get me a snood hat and a pair of the Stealth Shades. Because I think we could, I mean, I'll wear them. Now, whether I can kill a turkey, they won't have nothing to do with the Stealth Shades, but it'll just be the great turkey hunter that I am.
Well, it ain't gonna hurt
well,
you.
Well, you just had lessons from the best turkey caller in the world. You should be able to call any turkey from any country now.
Yeah, I really did.
Eddie Salter?
I bought a turkey call from him, well, not long after we left you, and he wouldn't let me leave until I run it, is what he said. So there I am, you know. I got to try to make this turkey call sound decent in front
on
of one
the
of
spot.
The,
was that a box call or a slate?
No, it was a mouth call.
Oh.
Yeah.
right,
yeah. So the box call, I'd have felt a little better. I got it figured out. And them two, Eddie and his wife, are the nicest people in the world. I tell you, I said, well, I just want to buy one of the mouth calls. And she goes, okay. And then I was just, you know, I was going to stick it in my bag. She goes, oh, no, you got to try it out. She said, what if you don't like it? I said, well, I'm still going to buy it. I'm not going to give you this call I've just had in my mouth. Oh, no, honey, we'll just throw it in the trash or something. I was like, no, all, you know, and then it actually, I've been messing with it at home, and it's a really easy call to blow, which I know there's 400 million.
Yeah, and they were all at the NWTF.
Yeah, turkey call. I mean, honestly, guys, if I don't know one that's better than another. I think it's all just, can you run it? Which one works best for you? You know, they're all the same thing, basically. Some of them are smaller tape, like the one I got didn't have the big, you know, it was a smaller call, so it didn't win, and that's good for me because I got the gag reflex, like, I gag brushing my teeth every day. Like, it's a struggle.
You gotta be careful.
So, like, you know, you get some of them turkey calls, and you just throw them in there, and then you're over there puking and gagging because, it, you know, if it touches anywhere close to the back of my throat, I'm done. I mean, I'll... Well, it's
yeah,
just
I,
not
I can't
good.
Use a mouth call. I just can't do it. Every time I can't even fit in my mouth right. So as a kid, I learned how to call without a call. So I use a box call. In fact, I got an Eddie Salter box call that he signed for me down when I was down there. And I run that call for distance. And then once they get in close, I'm just putting and purring. And, you know, so I'm, you know, I don't need... And I have a little slate that I use once in a while as well, but for the most part, box call and just mouth sounds. So,
if you guys want to hear somebody that can really run a slate call, you need to go to Matt's turkey hunting video from a couple of years ago.
No, Matt Smith edited all that out for me.
Oh, he did.
I don't know.
I wish you guys could have seen this. Matt was such a nervous wreck; he couldn't even. I mean, it was just.
It sounded like I was using Morse code because my hands were shaking.
Yeah, it just. That's like, okay, and then you just put it down and went on with your business.
That's why I had to shoot it at 70 yards, Hampton.
Yeah, the call-in was so good.
Yeah, I was like, well, you know.
The call-in was so good, you got him all the way to 70 yards.
That was it. The jig was up. I was like, well, shoot maybe, no shoot, no maybe, so.
Right. Sometimes you just got to send it. I mean, that's the thing nowadays. Yeah. I don't recommend shooting turkeys at 70 yards. Everybody listening.
Shit. Should have made a TikTok video out of it. Or was TikTok a thing then?
No.
I don't know. Is TikTok a thing now?
Yeah, it's come quite the thing now. Did you watch the one my wife tried to get me on the other night? I got to bring this up.
The banana phone?
So I'm asleep peacefully in my bed, 2:00 in the morning. And my wife, she comes in there and she goes, wakes me up, says, TJ, your mom's on the phone. And I'm it's 2:00 in the morning. This is not good. Your parent, you don't call.
Right.
Then I turn around to grab the phone, and she's got a banana, and she's dying laughing. She's trying to get me to answer this banana. I didn't fall for it. I about did. She about got me. I'm not going to lie. But, Megan, if you're listening, I'm not that dumb. She tried to get me. 2:00 in the morning. I mean, I was pissed, but I didn't answer the banana phone. So be careful, man. There's a TikTok going around. Your wife's going to try to roll you out of bed at 2 in the morning and get you to answer a banana phone. Just be careful. There's your warning. And, of course, she's posted it all over the place. You know, I can't do anything at my house that's funny.
I've never seen it. I'm going to have to go find it.
You go on my wife's page. She shared it to her. What do you call
it? Is it something we can share?
I don't know.
I guess. I mean, it's a pretty short deal.
No.
The video.
What is what all the OTTB audience see it?
Yeah. If I'd actually answered it, it'd have been a lot funnier, but I didn't fall for it. You could tell how thrilled I was, though, by the look on my face. No, I didn't.
Or is that a swerve so we don't post it?
Oh, you can go look. I don't care. I missed a 150-inch buck on TV one time, so I don't. What do I got?
Yeah,
to
banana
worry?
Phone.
It don't matter
he's
now.
At 23
it.
Yards, I mean, what do I got to worry about a banana phone thing?
Oh,
that's
oh.
You know, you know.
Hey, at least mine was 48 yards.
No, mine was 23 on the dot. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Me too.
But, well, Joe, man, I'm really glad you come on here and talk to us. We kind of just rambled on, but.
That's all right. I appreciate you guys having me on. That's
yeah,
good
I mean,
conversation.
Everybody listening, for sure, check out this new, which you're going to be seeing a lot of it because I'm going to be pushing her pretty hard this turkey season. But,
if they ain't realized, OTTV is a big snood supporter.
Oh, yeah. Have been for a while now, so.
Yeah, you guys have been real good supporters of both Cell Shades and Snood brand, and it's been awesome to have you guys doing that for me. And nothing but support from all of the hunting community as far as I'm concerned, too. I mean, it's been real open arms with everything. So.
That's something that people need to hear. Like, the hunting community, for the very most part, everybody's pretty... And I realized that at the NWTF thing. You know, you're thinking of these guys, and you've seen them on the Pursuit Channel, and, you know, like the Bone Collector, you're thinking, oh, these guys. They're all just regular guys, man. They'll talk to you. We got Nick Munt coming on the podcast. When? I don't know exactly what day, guys, but, you know, he said, yeah, I'll do it. You know, it's just, you're thinking, oh, these guys will never, they're too big time for me.
Right. Right, right.
And then you go up there and you talk to these guys and they're like, no, I just got lucky, you know. I just got lucky that somebody, and something I got to clear up on here, and I realized that we was calling Lancaster Philip Lancaster. His name's Kenneth Lancaster.
Kenneth.
I said that wrong, and I want to apologize for that if he was listening.
I'm sure he was.
Right. I don't know. Well,
everybody listens to us.
The problem was Philip Culpepper was right there, and then he was right here, so I kind of made one person out of both of them. I'm sorry.
They'll forgive you.
Right. But, no, I enjoy it. We're so happy to have you on here, Joe. I hope we need to get you up here and try to catch one of these spoonbills sometime.
Definitely. I'm up for that. When does that season start? When does it end? What's your?
It starts the 15th of March, and I don't know how long does the season go?
What's that
for the paddlefish?
45 days.
45 days.
Yep.
Ooh. Okay.
It's coming in hot.
Yeah, and Joe, we'd like to maybe do a snood brand giveaway with OTTV.
Yeah.
So we'll get with you and.
Try to get some stuff from you.
Get some stuff and
definitely. You know what I'll do too is I'll throw you guys a code that you can put out for all the OTTV. Anyway, that way people can, you know, if they want to order something, get them a little bit of a break for all your fans as well.
That's awesome. Well, see, which something we got to get working on, and everybody listening, we haven't got it in the books yet, but we're going to try to do a crappie tournament this year. So it'd be cool to, you know. Get some stuff and maybe try to push it even at that deal.
Right, do some prize packs or something.
Yeah, something cool.
Yep.
So, oh, yeah.
But, well, Joe, we really appreciate it, man. I've told you that 100 times now, but we really appreciate you coming on here.
I appreciate you guys having me on there and giving me some airtime. It's really, really cool.
Well, you know, it's a premium around here. It's hard to get on here, so it's... No, we kind of waited to have you on just closer to turkey season. Because it felt like it made more sense.
Right.
But we'll definitely have to have you back on here. And like I said, we need to get you down here in our neck of the woods. Maybe we could take you snagging, and then maybe one day me and Matt wander up to Michigan and see if we can, maybe you can kind of point us a direction on where to catch a fish.
Yeah, I can put you on birds too, so let me know.
That'd be cool.
Be cool with me.
So. Yeah, because I think I heard him say 3,000 acres.
Yes, is what I said.
Justin, I already had that wrote down, buddy.
Yeah, you ought to see this. You ought to see the notes he's been taking over here.
Yeah, he's got notes.
Is he already applying for tags?
I think he is.
So while I'm talking to you.
You can generally get a leftover here in Michigan. Yeah. You know, so, yeah, there's usually quite a few leftovers, and you can pick up a leftover for private land. So let me know, guys. Let me go. We'll get to film a Ozark Traditions. Episode up here. That'd be fun.
Michigan edition.
I'm over here right now, like trying to look through the dates on when we can head up there. I'm ready. Now, you guys have Eastern turkeys there, right?
Say again?
You guys have Eastern turkeys in Michigan?
Yeah, they're all Eastern. Correct.
Yep.
I had a chance to go bow hunting at Ithaca, Michigan once. I was up there working and I turned it down.
Oh.
What'd you do that for?
Yeah. Well, my bow wasn't with me, so I'd have to have it shipped up there or go buy a new one.
Yeah, know? my biggest buck is on state land, so I'm just going to say that.
Yeah.
People kind of overlook state land, and it... Guys, I'm telling you, there's some good hunting on a lot of it. But you got to hunt. You know, it's not easy. Which any kind of big bucks, they're never easy. So, but... All right, Joe, well, we'll let you go. me and Matt will get with you, and we'll try to get this snagging thing planned out.
Okay. So, well, gentlemen, have a great evening, and you take care now.
Yep. Thanks for talking.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
You too.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. I think we're going to wrap this. That took about an hour, which is fine with me.
Yep. Works for me.
I love it. Joe was an awesome guy. I'm ready to... I hope we can kill some turkeys so we can really help push this new thing. It's a really cool thing, guys. It's a lot of fun. And the stealth shades are legit. They're pretty neat. I actually put them on up at down.
In Nashville.
In Nashville. So, Joe's an awesome guy. Everybody listening, go on there. Check him out on... I mean, he's got some YouTube videos. Check him out on his Facebook. You definitely got to check out the artwork. That stuff's pretty amazing. And so next week, we'll probably most likely be... we'll be able to talk before we go on the snow goose hunt. So we'll be here before then. I don't know what we're going to do. I guess I'm just have to go fishing so I can talk about that.
We're talking about crappie fishing.
We're going to be doing some fishing because we got to get the boat ready.
Oh, I know.
So there's that.
It's all coming. Like, you sit back and you're like, man, I got all the time in the world. And then you wake up one day and you're like, man, I got 2 hours before I got to have all this stuff ready to go. So I'm excited about the snow goose deal. It seems like I know hunting's kind of wrapping up. Well, I say that turkey season's about to open, but it seems like we might actually hit this one pretty decent this year.
Maybe.
All the years past, we've tried this. We're a day late and a dollar short, too early, too late. This year, Justin just sent me and Matt a video of, I don't know, 5 or 6 birds down there in Arkansas.
Looked like a pretty good feed.
So that means they haven't went north yet, so that's good news. But, all right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap her up, and you never know. We might have a guest next week. Might not. Might just have to listen to me and Matt. Maybe we can have Matt Smith as a guest. He's here every week.
That'd be cool one time.
Okay.
We'll work on him.
We're working on it. But
the bone collector guys might be easier than Matt Smith. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Anyways.
You know, yeah, because Matt Smith runs a hard schedule.
He does.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next week.
The Ozark Traditions TV podcast crew would appreciate it if you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe on your favorite podcast apps so you don't miss an episode. And also, be sure to check out our hunting episodes on our YouTube channel, and don't forget to subscribe. While you're on the web, head on over to our Facebook page and click on the follow and like button to see what the Ozark Traditions TV crew is up to. Ozark Traditions TV would like to thank you for joining in to this week's podcast. Be sure to tune in on our next weekly podcast as we bring the outdoors inside. From all of us at Ozark Traditions TV, we thank you for listening. And remember, if you see us out in God's country, stop us. We'd like to meet you.